Go ahead and share God's word with you this morning. I have something very, very special that was such a blessing to me, and I hope that I can express it good enough to help you to have the blessing too. There's a little verse in Psalm 73 that I want to start with, and then we're going to go to Lamentations of Jeremiah after that. Psalm 73. In verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I want us to remember that testimony there of David in a time where everything was failing, but as we were mentioning a while ago, as we were talking about it a while ago, when you have God, He is your strength. And He is the one who will last eternally and forever. And He's the one we can depend on and count on. And we must always remember that, because we have a tendency as people to count on other things and to depend on other things and to lay everything, to actually make a bet of our lives on all kinds of things that will fail. That's what people do. That's not a word. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. People gamble their lives on things that are not sure. But he said here, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I've been asking the Lord, what does it mean for God to be my portion? And from there, I want to go to Lamentations. And just look, Lamentations is just short, four chapters, right after the book of Jeremiah. But this gives us a little picture of something, and just to go to chapter 3, let's go to verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood or the bitterness and the gall. Affliction and misery and bitterness is what he's saying here. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His steadfast, devoted love. That word compassion is the same word that means womb, a mother's womb. A soft and gentle and safe place that God created to form and hide a baby in before it's born. That is the word here, compassion. It gives you a picture, it gives you a mental picture of God's safe, warm, loving care. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And here again, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. What does he mean when he says, the Lord is my portion? And I didn't know. I just thought, I can assume. What is he saying here? The Lord is my portion. I thought about portion of what? He's my part of what? I mean, what is this saying to us? David said it in a time where he was in trouble. And here, Jeremiah, and it helps us to know what Jeremiah is going through here. So let's just go back just a little bit and talk about Jeremiah. Who he was. Why was he here? Why was he writing what he's writing here? Jeremiah was 14 years old, or around there, when God called him and said, Jeremiah, I've known you since before you were in the womb. And I have chosen you to be a prophet for me. And I'm going to ask you to go to the people of Israel, and they won't listen to you. They're going to be in opposition. You're going to preach with people opposed to your preaching all the time. Just think about a 14-year-old boy being called like this. And he was terrified of it. But the Lord said, I'll be with you. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'll be with you. He said, you're going to tear down and you're going to build. You're going to pluck up and you're going to plant. They're going to, let's see, forget how it was that he told him, but six things that he told him he was going to do in his ministry with the children of Israel. And so Jeremiah is going to root out and pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and plant. That's what he's sending to do to Israel. So he preached to the kings there and told them what was going to happen to Israel. He said, you're going to be carried away into captivity in Babylon. And they wouldn't have it. There were other prophets that would say, no, it's not. We're all going to be fine. Jeremiah kept telling them the word of the Lord. And his own family persecuted him. The whole nation persecuted him. And his friends, the kings, everybody persecuted him. He kept right on preaching for several years. He preached for about 5 years. Then he found a copy that had been forgotten, a copy of God's law, in an old dusty corner of the temple. And he toured Israel. He went around and toured Israel, and he shared that old copy of God's law with the people. And he still made proclamations of woe. You all have forgotten this law. You have forgotten your resting place. He talked to them and told them that God looked at them like they were an adulterous wife who was going out and having affairs. But he was married to them, and he wanted them to come back to him. And that's the message that Jeremiah constantly shared. People wouldn't have it. They always opposed him. He told them, he prophesied of the ruin. He told them what was going to happen. He and along with other prophets, Hosea and Amos, and all of these prophets were telling them this, and false prophets were telling them, no, we're going to all be okay. Well, Jeremiah told them, don't go down to Egypt for help. And so did Isaiah. Isaiah, they all told him, don't go and ask Pharaoh for help because he's going to fail you. No, they trusted in Pharaoh and they went down there. And in the book of Jeremiah, you can read how he had told them, you don't go down there, you're going to be killed down there. And you know what happened? They went down there and they captured Jeremiah and they took him down there. That was at the very end of his life. When this all came to pass, well, let me go back up one more time. The Lord, they would imprison Jeremiah, and then the Lord would get him out. At one point, the Lord told Jeremiah, I want you to take these words that I'm telling you, and I want you to write them down. So they had scrolls back there, and he had a scribe, he had a servant, Baruch, who wrote the words that Jeremiah said. And then Baruch went and he read them before the king. The king said, give me that scroll. He took the scroll and he slashed it with his penknife and then he threw it in the fire. And then he tried to go get Baruch and Jeremiah and destroy them, but it said the Lord hid them. Now these are, I'm telling you all this because it helps you to understand when you read the book of Lamentations, you can understand the man who wrote these words, what he was feeling, what he was going through. He was a patriot. He was true to his people. He would tell them the truth, even though they persecuted him. They told him, don't say words like that. The king burned up his words. After that, the king had done that, God said, you just go get another scroll, and I'm going to give you those words to write again, and I'm going to add a whole lot more. So he and Baruch got together again and wrote another scroll. And we have those words. We have words that he said. And this king might have burned them in the fire, but we have them today. So that he prophesied, told him what was going to happen. Another thing that happened to him was they took him and they threw him down in a dungeon, and it said he sunk in the mire. I don't know how far he sunk, but I'm thinking, you know, what if he was in there waist high in mud? He was in that dungeon. And there was an Ethiopian man in the court who was Jeremiah's friend. And he came and he had helped God's people before. There are always people of God that were just kind of hidden underground. Every time there were these kind of times, there were people that would be faithful to God. This Ethiopian man had helped them, and he came to Jeremiah. He rolled back the covering of that dungeon. He grinned down in there and said, "Jeremiah, I'm going to get you out." So he went and got ropes, and he bound him with rags so that it wouldn't hurt Jeremiah's arms, and he pulled him out of there. All of these things happened with Jeremiah. Finally, the Babylonians, they came and they took captive the children of Israel, just like Jeremiah had said. They burned the place. And when you read the book of Lamentations, you can see this is his cry as he stayed there. He chose to stay there instead of going to Babylon. He had told the people, if you go ahead and go down to Babylon, you'll be safe. If you try to stay here, you'll perish. But he actually did stay here until they kidnapped him and took him down to Egypt. And that's where he died, down there. And that's where he had told him, if you go down there, you'll die. If you stay here, you might perish also. If you go down to Babylon and just submit to God's will, you'll be all right. And many of them were able to come back later. 70 years later, they were able to come back. Jeremiah stood there and he watched all this happening. He stayed there with his people and he wrote this book. And you can just, I'm not going to read all of it, but it's his grief about what had happened to his country and his people, his family, his kings, his friends. And he was just in such grief about it. It's like it wasn't him that had rebelled against God, but it's like he took all of it personally, which there are similarities in how he grieved over Israel and how Jesus grieved over Israel. He looked at his people and there are verses in Lamentations that are actually prophecies of Christ, his grief and his feelings over his people. So he has all of this in chapter 3. He says, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his mouth." The rod of his mouth means God's words that came and told of the judgment. And then he sent the judgment. He said, "I've seen it. It's happened to me. I've gone through all of this experience and I've seen the ruin and the fires, and I've seen the people, and I've seen the blood and the destruction. I've seen them come in and take the young girls and defile them. I've seen them come and take the young men and torment them. I've seen all this happening. These are happening to my friends and my family and my people." And he tells all about it. And in this, he gives you a picture of God setting up with an arrow and bow and arrows and shooting at him. He said, he's made me as a mark for his arrows. He told about all this, and then he says, "But this I recall to my mind, and I have hope. It's of God's mercies that I'm not consumed. I'm still here. I'm a survivor. All of this has happened because my people went away from the Lord. They quit worshiping God. They were like an adulterous wife that went away from her husband and worshiped and loved other men." And he said, "This is what I call to my mind, though. We're still here. We're still alive. Those of us who are survivors, it's because of his mercies that we have survived." That gives kind of new meaning to this, doesn't it? When you think about what all he had been through and what all had happened to the country. They had put their hope and their trust in other things. But I want to tell you something about God and his people. all through that, and you can go back whenever he told Solomon. God warned Solomon, if you go away from me, if Israel goes away from me, this is what will happen. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, it will happen to you. People will, if I do all this, if I send affliction, if I send judgment, if my people, wherever they are, wherever they've been carried captive, if at any point they'll turn back to me, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive them. All through, here's what God has been. All through the years when people go their own ways and go another and they get judgment in their lives and things happen and things come into their homes and their lives, grief and trouble and sorrow. If at any point in that time they think, you know, I need to go to God. I need to turn to God. I need to trust in God. God has got an ear that is just tuned to that. No matter where a person is in life, when a person does that, God hears them. God hears their prayer. His call is always return, return, return. And if you'll return, then I'll forgive you and I will be to you a God again and you can be my people. That is the theme of the Bible, is people who would go away from him and go do something else and go their own ways and go believe in something else and love something else. And God is always saying, return. And if you return, then I will be to you compassionate and forgiving. So here, Jeremiah is thinking, this is the only hope that we have. Everything has been taken away. Our inheritance, this land, this beautiful land, it's burned. It's torn down. It is ruined. Everywhere I look is just ruin and devastation. And then he's thinking all along, you know, this really wasn't our inheritance anyway. This was not really what we were to count on and put our trust in anyway. It's the Lord. The Lord is our inheritance. That's what whenever I looked all this up, that's what he's saying here. Everything is gone, but the Lord's still faithful. Ruin is everywhere. I've lost everything. I'm in grief and sorrow and sickness maybe. And we can say this in our lives today. Whatever we lose, whatever God sees fit to take from us, whatever it is in our lives that comes upon us that maybe we feared or something that we saw coming, something that just, I don't know how to explain it, but you know what things are in life like that. And it comes. And we see it, and we see the devastation and grief. What is the constant, the one thing that does not fail? It is God's love. It is God there for us. It is the compassion that he has for us, the womb of safety that we can hide in and refuge in. It doesn't fail. If at any time we, in our troubles, say, God, I can see where I turned away from you. I trusted in myself. I've counted on other things. And now it's all shambles, and I don't have any hope. And then he said, this is what I call to my mind, and therefore I do have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that I'm still here. I'm a survivor. I've come through this and this and this and this. And yes, a lot of it was my own doings and my own folly and foolishness. But it is of God's mercies that I'm not consumed. Oh God, thank you. Now I can know you are my portion. See, David said, my flesh and my heart fails. Everything around me, everything in me, can't count on. But God is my portion forever. He's what endures. He's what's... And I saw this in a commentary. Just wanted to read this to you. He says, an interest in the favor and love of God and His presence with me, my heart tells me, is the best inheritance. And possessing these, I have that which is sufficient to balance all my troubles. That's what really spoke to me. I just thought, you know, we can face a lot of things. We can face loss of things that we hold dear. We can face ill health. I mean, just in a moment, and you could lose something in your body. Something quit working. Something that you depended on. Maybe you can't walk anymore. You can't. There's things that just all of a sudden you can't do anymore. I mean, this is happening to people. Strokes, and it can happen in a minute. I've seen it happen in a minute. Someone just get up and, hey, I can't use this side. I mean, just things like that happening in people's lives. Someone that you counted on and you depended on. You wake up one morning and they're gone. You can't depend upon them. I'm talking about people who disappoint you. People that you thought were there for you. People that you're just so surprised to know that this is what they really are. And this is what they've chosen. And you're like, I didn't know. How in the world did this relationship get like this? All of these things that are happening to us, he says here, possessing the favor and love of God and His presence with me is enough, or it's sufficient to balance all my troubles. And I thought, is that really true? And I know it's true. I know it's true. God is enough to balance all my troubles and make up all my losses. For while portions on earth are empty and perishing things, and we were just speaking about that, about the troubles of inheritance here on earth, how people break apart in their families when they go to divide up inheritances. Did you know we have a Heavenly Father who gives you an inheritance, and He gives you an inheritance, and we can't even squabble over it because He is my portion. He is your portion. Everything that He has is yours. Everything that He has is yours. I mean, you see what I'm saying? This is an inheritance. It can't be squabbled over. You can't get more than me, and I can't get more than you. God is my portion. The Lord is my portion. He is my personal inheritance. And I want to get, let's go a little farther than that. God is an all-sufficient and durable portion. A portion forever is what David said in Psalms. I will stay myself upon Him and encourage myself in Him when all other supports and encouragements fail me. Observe, dear reader, it is our duty and interest to make God the portion of our souls, and then to enjoy and take comfort in Him as such. Oh, that really spoke to me this week. It is our duty to make God the portion, to depend on Him, to say to Him, Lord, You're mine. I choose You. I choose Your will in my life. I want You to be that which I depend on and stand on and hope in and trust in. Now, it means something to take our trust and our hope from the things of this life and put them on the Lord, and to count Him as the one who supplies all my needs. Now, it's a deeper thing than just the words that I'm saying. But to remember, it's not my job that supplies money for me. It's really the Lord. It's not the work of my hands that's going to get me through. It's the Lord. And back of all of our endeavors, yes, we work hard. Yes, we do what we can. But back of all that, my ultimate trust is in God to supply all my needs. I hope. This is, you can understand what I'm trying to say here. This has been so precious to me when I think about, why am I a survivor? Why is anyone surviving the troubles and the afflictions of their life? It's because underneath it all, there's God supporting and being our trust and our hope. And we come through. We come through this, we come through that. And the Lord, even when things happen, and I told this dream and shared it with several this week, but I had a dream on Tuesday morning where I looked across a yard. It was a kind of a big yard, and there was a ferocious dog that was tied up over there. And I would see that dog from time to time in my dream, and I would think, I hope that thing never gets loose, because if it gets loose, I'm terrified of it. Because I'm not a dog person, okay? I'm just sorry. And I've had dogs jump me, and it's a horrible, shaking experience. And so in my dream, I thought, if he ever gets loose, he's going to come over here and kill me because he's a ferocious dog. Well, in my dream, somebody came out of the house and let him off. Sure enough, here comes the dog. And you know in a dream how things go like slow motion sometimes? And it just is going and going, and it's just kind of wavy, and it's, you know, how a dream is like that. Well, here that dog came, and he came right to me, and he jumped me. But in my dream, I began to say, God, help me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I start saying Jesus' name over and over again. And the dog jumped me. He enveloped me. He had me in a hold. But he never snapped at my neck. That's what I thought he was going to do. I thought, you know, it was just going to be like, well, and that's it. He never got me. He was there, but God was between me and the dog. And then I woke up, and I thought about that for a long time. I just thought, you know, there are things in my life that I have feared. What if they really happen? Just like in my dream, I anticipated and I feared that dog. And what we do a lot of times with things that we fear is we try to control them by making pictures and imaginations of how it will be when they happen. Did you know that? That's our way to control what we worry about. And so we imagine the worst case scenario. We have it just as bad as we can think it. And so we think about it and we worry about it and we think what I will do if this happens just like this. And we create the picture in our minds. And we go through it in our minds. It's our way of trying to control it. But did you know we can't control those things? Worry doesn't help us. It doesn't help us to control those things. But you know what? Our faith is in God. What we can do, and the Lord's trying to teach me this. I'm a slow learner. But he's trying to teach me, don't try to control it by your imagination of it. Don't try to visualize the fear. Just know that if you trust in me, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. I will always be between you and the thing that you fear. I think that's the Lord's story in the dream for me, was that if I call on his name, there's enough power in his name to shield me from all harm and all danger. Yes, the very thing may come. And it may be all over me, but inside, the Lord is right there. The Lord is my portion. He's what I trust in. He's my inheritance. He is what's given to me to help me and to supply for me and to take me through and to sustain me. That's what I get from this today. So we can look to God. I think about how he said when he was talking to his two sons there in Luke chapter 15, where you read the story of the prodigal son. Well, you also read the story of the son who stayed home but had an attitude. Remember that guy? He had an attitude toward the one that went away and came back and got treated so good by the father. And you know what the father told him? Son, you are ever with me. This is Luke 15 and 31. You're ever with me, and all that I have is yours. Now, when the Lord is your portion, he's your inheritance. You have him, and you have all that you need supplied. All that he has is yours. What is it that you need from day to day? Well, I need my needs met. I need to be able to live. I need to eat. I need to have something to wear. I need to have a vehicle to go in. I need money to buy food. And all of this. Having the Lord, choosing the Lord, and him being your portion. Did you know all that comes with it? What did Christ say? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things. And what was he talking about? What you're going to eat and drink, and where you're going to live, and what you're going to wear, and how you're going to be supplied with. He said all of these things will be added. Another scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This is one of my favorite scriptures. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not?" Now this is written a little bit funny, but just think about it. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" When you have the Lord as your portion, you actually have everything. With him, God gives you all things. How shall he not? With him. If he didn't spare him, but he sent him to be your Savior, and he hung on the cross and died for you, he is your portion forever. With him comes all things that you need. What are they? Let's look here in 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So whatever you have need of, your spiritual life or your physical life, everything that pertains to you, he has given it to you through Christ. Christ is our portion. And that's everything that we need. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have a little verse here. In verse 12, "We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now, the world can't know those things. It says, "Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." Excuse me. God has given us all things through his Son, everything that we need. He is our portion. My soul says to him, "You are my portion. You are what I need. You are what sustains me. You are what will endure when everything else is gone." God is enough. He is enough. Another thing that you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. And the end of that verse, it says, "For all things are yours." Verse 22, "All are yours. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's." When he has us, and we have him, everything that we need is supplied there. Oh, there's so many of these scriptures that came to my mind whenever I realized what it meant for the Lord to say, or for Jeremiah to say to the Lord, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore, will I hope in him." Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you. I don't know of anything else that I just wanted to share. The precious meaning of that verse.